Hi, I'm Masaba Gupta. Each week on How I Masaba from Luminary, I talk to one incredible woman about how they do, well, them. These are the inspirational mindsets, necessary daily practices, and only funny in hindsight experiences that have defined and continue to drive our culture's greatest. Our guest today is a mystery to me. She is someone who likes to do her work quietly. She's an anomaly in this world of clickbait and self-promotion. And very quietly, very gracefully, she has managed to champion some of the most pressing social issues of our time. Armed with deep compassion towards the unheard and the unseen, she has brought in a sea change in public awareness through her organizations and initiatives. To the world, she's an educator, businesswoman, and a philanthropist, but I admire her for the deep sense of empathy she brings in everything she does. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Neerja Birla.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I wanted to start with something that jumped out at me about you the moment we started our research. You're part of a cycling group that's exploring different parts of the country on bicycles. It's amazing. How did that come about?
So actually, we, just a group of friends, would go cycling in Bombay. You know, we used to do it. We do it every Sunday. Not currently, but we did a lot of it. Like during COVID, we did a lot of it. And then we were just wondering, you know, let's go cycling somewhere out as a cycling trip. And then I thought, why not explore India? So I put forth the idea and everyone liked it. So we did Kerala, we did Arunachal, we've done Rajasthan. And I'm in fact just thinking that, you know, where do we go this winter or this in Jan? And so I'm just trying to figure that out. And it just, you know, it's been such a wonderful experience, I can't tell you.
Okay.
The roads are very nice and just, you know, literally meeting people. In Kerala, I remember we used to go into people's houses sometimes and everyone was so welcoming. And it was such a great way to really experience the local flavor. It was a very experiential and a very immersive kind of a experience.
And is that also something that you use to just declutter, de-stress with everything that you do?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I tell you, like Arunachal was fab because you just didn't see people for miles or you didn't see cars for miles. And we were tenting and it was just so nice because you really, you know, come out of what you're doing and you're just transported into a whole new world. And it's just such a lovely way to unwind, like you said.
Right. So I'm going to have to read this out. There's so many definitions to you. There's mother, wife, philanthropist, businesswoman, educationist, and very recently you became Dr. Neerja Birla, all the while representing your illustrious family with so much grace and poise. What I want to ask you is, do you feel like playing all these roles comes naturally to you, or is this something that, is there any one role that requires that extra push and effort?
Firstly, thank you so much for that. It really means a lot because I do try to play my different roles to the best of my ability in each role. Having said that, obviously there are times when one takes a little bit more importance and precedence, and therefore you are a little bit straddling with sometimes feelings of guilt if you spend less time in one doing one particular role. But I think, let me put it the other way around. What comes most naturally to me, the one of being a mom. I think that is something that just comes very naturally to me. And I think that is something that I prioritize over everything else. But I think by God's grace, I think I'm able to sort of juggle with the different roles. I won't say that it's not challenging. It's extremely challenging. And I think all of us women, you know, who wear different who wear different hats and who have to play all these different roles, which most women have to, mm-hmm. do find it challenging. And of course, and if you're working, then it adds one more dimension to
Correct.
It. So all of us are challenging in our, find, you know, situations challenging in our own ways. But yeah, I guess just trying to do it to the best of one's ability.
Are you a multitasker by nature? Do you feel like you perform at your optimum when you're multitasking?
I think so. Though I have to leak out a little secret, I think age is catching up on me on that. I feel that the amount that I could multitask with ease a little earlier, like a couple of years ago, I think now I find that a little bit of a strain. So I'm trying to lessen that. So I think age is people agnostic. And, I mean, everybody has to go through it, right? So
you're doing a good job, that I can say. There was a very, very popular quote by Sadhguru, ma'am, which I wanted to talk to you about. It says, a child is closer to life than you are. When a child comes into your life, it is time to relearn life and not teach them your ways. You were very young when you had children. In hindsight, is there something you would do differently? And what phase of your life were you in? What was your sort of approach to being a mother at the time?
So, yeah, I don't think I'd do too much differently. The only thing that I may do differently, which I know is not possible, is maybe just be a little less hyper being a first-time mom. But I know that, you know, being a first-time mother, everybody's very hyper. But other than that, no, I think I was very, very hands-on, exactly like the way I wanted to be. You know, I spent a lot of time with both my older ones, Ariman and Ananyashri. By the time Advaitesha was born, of course, I was still full-time, but I'd already, just a little after she was born, I'd started looking after the school. But, you know, like I said, that's something that I hold dearest to my heart. And I mean, I always prioritize on that. So in that sense, I may not do anything very differently. I think I'm really happy the way my motherhood and my parenting journey is panning out and has been and is continuing to be.
I have to say, I haven't spent much time with your older kids. I've spent a little bit more time with Ariman, but both Ananya and Ariman, I have to say, each time I meet them, there is this gentleness about them. And you don't see that with a lot of kids that age who come from a family like yours. And I think that's very telling of the way both you and Mr. Birla have raised the kids. And I really feel that at some level, they have a lot of gratitude in the way they approach everything that they do. So that's wonderful. But you've also spoken publicly about your choice to focus on your family in the early years of your marriage. But as your children grew up, you became more independent and now you have this unique identity for yourself. Tell me about the phase in your life when you felt comfortable to branch out and say, okay, now I'm going to go out and become my own person.
I don't think I planned it to be like that. I think it was just very organic and it kind of just followed a very natural rhythm. Because like I said, I was very, very much, I was a complete stay-home mom for many years. And then when Advaitesha was born, after I think about 2 years is when I started looking after school. And then by then, you know, the older two were growing up. So it was just something that just very naturally happened. I don't think I ever planned it that, you know, okay, now the kids are older and I'm going to do this. In fact, I still sometimes feel, you know, that I wish I could spend a little bit more time with them than I already do. But of course, now the older two are much older. So, you know, now it's a little tough to find that common time with everybody because everybody's timings are different and schedules and, you know, everybody's leading such busy lives. So I think it just naturally happened. I think the kind of work that I guess I got into, I mean, mine is one of those stories which is really not planned in that sense. It's just, you know, very organic.
Life
and
took
just,
you where it yeah, took you.
Life is, it actually it's like that. Life is just taking me and I'm going along with it. And, you know, luckily, by the grace of God, it's, of course, there are certain things that you want to, you carve out time for it, right? So I do, like I said, my kids are my priority. So I would definitely carve out time for them. And there are times that I'm saying no to a lot of opportunities, a lot of things, because I want to be with the children, for example. You know, like now, Advaitesha, say, she's in London, she's studying in London. I spent good amount of time with her because I wanted to be with her, settle her in. I was, of course, working also. But obviously, there were a lot of things that I said no to because I wanted to be with her, for example.
Priorities, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's just kind of trying to integrate and, you know, prioritize at that time and going along and flowing with it.
Flowing with it. But I also noticed that you've let them do what they like. Ananya's a singer. Aryaman's played cricket. Was this something that you both sat down as parents and said, okay, we must let them pursue what their true passion is, and then maybe later they'll find their way? And now they also are a part of the group in some way or the other. So was this a conscious decision to make them do what they like as well?
Yeah, so, you know, actually earlier on, Masava, because Mr. Birla has always been so busy with work, he was obviously busy and, you know, obviously, naturally, the responsibility of the kids did come on me. I mean, we didn't really sit down and have a conversation, but of course, like, say, when Ananyashri said she wants to get into singing, so obviously, we discussed it that, you know, she wants to get into singing. And we both said, yeah, I mean, you know, let her pursue it. Or when Aryaman wanted to follow cricket, I mean, that again was very organic for him. He just got into it and then got into it more and got into it further. So it wasn't like a, you know, a dinner table conversation that we had, like, okay, you know, do we not? But I guess we realized that that's what he wanted to do, and we just let him follow that, because, you know, as long as he was really excelling at what he was doing, we were okay with that.
Mm. Moving on from your children, I wanted to talk about another aspect of your life. For you, there's lots of social appearances. It's a part of what you do. Tell me, on days when you don't have professional commitments, do you also enjoy going out, meeting new people? What's that like?
I love meeting my friends. So I'm always trying to fix up some or the other program with my friends. And, you know, typically you have this one person who's always initiating the program, and it's typically me, which sometimes actually irritates me because I feel that, why is somebody else not taking the initiative?
Oh gosh, I'm the same. I'm just like, you guys make the plan.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they turn around and tell me, but, you know, you're the busy one, so you know your schedule. But I tell them that at least ask, at least initiate a program. You know, and every time I decide that, okay, I'm just not going to, and I just obviously can't resist it, and I'm again at it. So, yeah, I love to meet my friends. I love to go to Jolie's now that Jolie's is open.
Lovely club.
In fact, I mean, I don't remember eating anywhere else now. It's just Jolie's, and it's just so wonderful. So go there very often. You know, meet up friends Sunday morning. I go to the club. So I have a lot of friends at the club. So I like to do that. Catch up with my family, my parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's your downtime.
And of course, that's my downtime. And spending time with the kids, like I said, trying to, you know, figure out what their schedule is and then be around when they are around is something that I consciously sort of do that. So,
you know, we don't talk enough about some of the peripheral skill sets that are so important to develop for professional success. You always seem to have a lot on your plate, but there have to be days where you might not be as driven or might not be as motivated. How do you pull yourself out of bed on such days?
So I was thinking about this, Masaba, but honestly, and I don't mean to sort of sound pompous at all, but, and with a lot of gratitude, I say this, that by the grace of God, till now, I've not gone through that, you know? I mean, you do have low days in the sense you feel, you know, you just feel that I'm a little out of sorts today, for example, or you've had a sort of a disturbing conversation with somebody, and that really throws me off sometimes. Or you're grappling with a little difficult situation personally.
Hmm.
But I've never felt, till now at least, and like I say it with all humility and gratitude, that I've not felt that this is not what I want to do, and, you know, I can't do this anymore. Somehow, you know, so I'm really happy and very grateful for that, actually.
To be given the opportunity to do so much.
Yeah, and enjoy it. I mean, sometimes, you know, when your passion and your work sort of align, I like, you know, you say you found your ikigai.
Yes. Yes. So important to find that. And I do believe...
So I feel blessed.
I do believe that... I always say showing up is half the job done. You know, so just getting up and showing up, no matter how you're feeling. But I also believe that you have to be grateful. There's lots of people who don't do what they love for a living. And I think if we have that opportunity, we must make absolute use of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the other thing, when I feel tired and I don't feel like getting out of bed, is I actually just get up and I go to work out. And I feel that the initial 10-15 minutes, I might be feeling that, oh my God, you know, should I leave it? Should I leave it? But 10 minutes into a workout or any exercise, and you just, something just snaps on. And I think that, you know, so I think that really also gets that spring back. And then, you know, you're sort of ready to take on the day.
Correct.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You know, I have a very interesting story about Empower, which I must tell you. So when I was trying to find a name for my beauty brand, I don't know why I came up with Empower. And in the exact same way that Empower is written for your brand.
Oh, really?
It was bizarre. And I will never forget, I was in the car. And you know, you have that huge, the hoarding that's before the flyover. And I saw that and I said, oh no, it's already a thing. And then I Googled it, and this was a year back, I think. And I said, okay, that's already a thing. But it was very strange to have thought the exact same thing, because it's such a powerful name. You've done a lot of great work around mental health. It's very well documented. And you're clearly one of the biggest champions for this cause in our country. But I want to ask you what you do for your mental health.
So I think a couple of things, Masaba. One is my exercise. I think that really keeps me going. Keeps me going, and I think I really enjoy that, really. I mean, it's something that really excites me, and I love to work out. So, you know, whether it is working out in the gym or playing a game of badminton or going cycling, anything, or just if nothing else, I just like to go to the race course for a walk, you know. So I think that physical activity and that physical, the adrenaline rush that I get out of that is something that I think keeps my mental equilibrium. And I think very often I find myself when I'm sort of feeling very bogged down and I know the mind feels sort of cluttered, I think just taking a walk, somehow, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the magic is in a walk. I don't listen to any music. I don't do anything. I just go for a walk and somehow it just clears the mind. I don't know what it is, but it just does. You know, I think that is very important. And like I said, spending time with people whom I'm close to, I think is very important to me, because I find that sometimes, you know, when you land up in a situation or there are times when you don't say, you know, if I've say not met my kids, for example, properly
Correct.
For 1 or 2 days, I start feeling a little disconnected and I don't like that feeling. Or if I've not met my good friends for a while, I don't like that. Or my parents. So I think keeping, you know, meeting people who are close to me and whom I feel close to, I think is something that also keeps me balanced and sort of sane. So I think a couple of these things. I mean, I know it's that me time concept. I mean, I don't really spend so much time alone. I think the only time I spend alone is when I'm working out. But I'm not that kind of person who can just sit and just do nothing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't come to me naturally, you know.
Yeah. Idle mind, never good.
I think meditation is something that really helps also. Though I am not as regular as I would want to be. But yes, my spiritual study also helps me. So I think it's a combination of things, you know. I don't think it's any one thing that...
And the consistency of it, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. That's really very important. So it was a consistency, you know, I used to feel very, one feels really guilty, right? If you're not able to be consistent or regular, it kind of weighs, and uska, that itself pressurizes you. I'm not being consistent. I'm not being regular. So I came up with this thing, and I think I've sort of made peace with it, that you can be irregularly regular.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so over a period of time, sometimes, so say, for example, with my meditation, I feel that even if over a period of, say, in a month, if I'm able to clock in X number, I may not be able to do it every day. I may not be able to do it every alternate day. But if I'm able to overall clock in that much, you know, in a month, I'm pretty okay. So in a little irregular fashion, but there'll be that continuity is there throughout my life. You know, that's
it. And I think it's something that one should keep at the back of their mind, that did I check in on my mental health? Did I check in on my meditation or my walk or anything that makes you feel better? I think that's very important. The intent.
The intent. Yeah.
I don't know if this is your personality, but you do seem like someone who loves a new challenge. And I do think that as long as you have a challenge at the back of your head at all times, do you feel that that's what keeps you going? Do you feel like you always need that one new thing to keep going?
I do, actually. And actually, my daughter, Advaitesha, keeps telling me, one day she very seriously sat me down and she said, Mama, you know, now it's okay to rest.
How sweet. How old is she, by the way?
Well, she's only 18, going on 80.
Wow.
She's like a little grandmama. So I keep teasing her that, you know, who's the mother here? I mean, now we're having reversal of roles. Yeah. So yes, but that is true. That is what keeps me going. I do like to keep having a challenge, whether it's in my professional life or it's in my personal life. I start feeling, you know, that I like to, you know, keep challenging myself.
Right.
And that, like you're very rightly saying, that that's what keeps me going. I enjoy that. I thrive on that.
Same here. It's a bit of a problem now because my mom keeps saying that, can you please enjoy what you've done first and then move to the next thing?
Yeah, that is very true. But it just becomes a part of your life, you know, now.
Yeah. Now, there's some questions that I must know. And you can either answer in brief or you can make it as elaborate as you like. Do you enjoy cooking? And if you had to cook a meal for someone, what would be your go-to meal?
Oh my God. So, do I enjoy cooking? No, I don't, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's aspirational for me. So I really wish. So it's one of those romanticized ideas, you know, me cooking and enjoying it. I romanticize it. But do I really enjoy it? I really don't. It's just not been one of those things for me. Though during COVID, I did start cooking a lot and everyone was really shocked. And I think Addie and I, Advaitesha and I, we call her Addie. So we both churned out lots of good things actually. And, you know, we had started. We even got into these grandiose plans of starting, we called it Baby and I or something like that, or Mom and I.
Okay.
And we thought, okay, let's start this line and we'll start making cupcakes and cinnabons and, you know, all of that. But that was during COVID, really. I've not really ever invested time in that. And I think there are other things that I enjoy much more. So, you know, obviously there is always paucity of time.
Right.
So then in that limited time, you want to, you know, sort of pick on things that you really enjoy more than you enjoy the others. But who knows? I mean, it just may be a new skill that I may acquire maybe after 10 years.
Yeah. I know you enjoy traveling, whether or not it's on a bicycle. What's your favorite holiday destination?
So I think London as a place is something that all of us, we really love. And I just love London. But I think more than a holiday destination, it's become like home as well.
You know,
like
familiar.
Like how Bombay is home, I think London is home. Very, very familiar. So I don't call it a holiday destination. But yes, I think somehow I just love being in London. So even though I'm working, like say just now when I was there, I was working like from 6 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon because I had to obviously align it with time here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I still somehow feel I'm on holiday when I'm on London, which I'm not really because I'm really working. So I think as a place, I think London is something that I really love. But I don't think there's any one holiday destination because since I like to travel, I do like to explore new places. But I love going to the mountains and I love trekking and cycling. So I think that
anywhere
would be
in
my
the mountains.
Most favorite sort of activity, yes, anywhere in the mountains.
You know, regardless of who we are, I think a child's relationship with their mother is so universal. I think it's the same. You know, we all kind of have the same relationship with our parents most of the time. Those that love you sometimes have the best insight into you as well. If we asked all your children about one habit you have that annoys them the most, what do you think their response would be? Starting with Ananya, your oldest.
Oh, God. Poor thing. She's actually the sweetest because she will never tell me anything that she finds annoying about me. I mean, I was trying to think and there's actually nothing that she's ever told me that annoys her.
Wow.
So it could, I think she feels, in hindsight, I think she feels that I may have been too strict with her, which she tells me now that I was too strict with her, which I don't agree with, but this is what she feels. I think Ariman is, I think for him, the list will be endless because there is something or the other that is always annoying him about me. But I think the fact that I don't remember too much, in the sense I don't, may not remember details, nitty-gritty details, a month later or 2 months later, and he's got an elephant's memory. So he remembers everything really clearly and I don't. So he gets really annoyed by that. And I think he gets very annoyed when I ask him more than one question. So his limit is only one. Anything more than that is like you're asking too many questions. And I think it's the same with Addy. I think she also thinks that she gets annoyed that I forget, you know, that I'm forgetful.
Okay.
So she just, and I think she gets very embarrassed when sometimes nowadays I pronounce people's names wrong.
Oh, really?
So she's really very embarrassed with that.
As is every child of their parents saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
My mother says data and not data. And I've been correcting her for 15 years and she refuses to change. So I get this. I was wondering, what is the current challenge in front of you that's keeping you going? What's the next goal that you have in your mind?
Personal or professional?
Both.
Okay, so professionally, I think I really want to grow. I want to sort of, you know, whether it is mental health, whether it is schools, I really want to grow in that. And I think that is something, scaling up is something that we are now tackling. And particularly mental health, actually. There's a lot of, you know, suddenly now, I feel that the work that we've done of the last 6-7 years, people are now waking up to it. And I think now people are sort of wanting to do things and, you know, also help us, collaborate with us and take things forward. And I think the world is opening up to doing things as well. So I think that is something that I want to do. So I don't know whether you'd call it a challenge or just, you know, part of your life, part of the journey.
Right.
You probably call it that. And I think personally, I want to actually summit a few mountains. So
wow,
that's what I want to do actually. Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm just in the middle. Now I'm going to just start finding out. And
right.
I have already been a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I want to now sort of get down to it and really do it.
Get on with it. Yeah. What would your advice be to mothers whose children might be showing signs, early signs of any mental health problems? How do you think they should tackle it? For somebody who, there's lots of mothers who may not have dealt with anybody with mental health issues. I feel like that's also very heartbreaking. How should they tackle that?
I think the first acknowledgement and acceptance is with your own self. Because as a mom, I think that, you know, if you feel your child is going through a mental health concern, you tend to blame yourself for it.
Yeah.
You know, you think that you are to blame and there's something wrong that you have done or something that you didn't do or something that you should have done or should not have done, which could have prevented it and all of that. So I think first is to just accept it within yourself that it's okay and that everything doesn't have to be your fault.
Right.
Right. And I say this out of experience myself because I think there have been times when I've also felt guilty. And continue to do so sometimes. You know, you tend to take it upon yourself. And I think after that, the thing is to really understand what is it that your child is going through and just listen to him or her with patience. You know, without judging, just listen to it. More often than not, it could be something small, which then kind of irons out when you're talking and trying to understand it. And if not, I mean, if you can't wrap your hands around it, then you got to seek professional help.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Correct.
If you do have a physical ailment, you will reach out to a doctor, right? I mean, you may try one or two home remedies. But if it doesn't work, then you will go to the doctor. So I think for mental health, it's the same thing. You should definitely reach out to a doctor. And I think very often, in fact, people, I think a lot of parents hesitate in doing so.
Yeah.
The child may be ready for it, but the parents don't want to do it.
Right.
You know,
right.
They are holding the child back.
Right. And I think they wait till it's reached a point of no return. You know, I think everyone has to be very aware of the fact that tackle it before it hits a point that is too much for the child to take.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my last question, what is the most valuable advice that you've ever got?
So difficult to pinpoint as most valuable, but I think a couple of things stand out. And I also believe that in different phases of your life, different things hold different values.
Right.
You know? And I think at this point in time, it's something that my father always stands for is that, you know, he always has a never say die attitude.
Yeah.
And he always believes that no challenge is that big that you can't tackle it. You know, so I think that is something that, you know, I have seen him do the same. And I think that is what is sort of, that also, that kind of is very liberating for me also, you know, to believe that.
Right, right.
And have that never say die attitude. My father-in-law used to always tell me that you must know and must always give a lot of importance to interpersonal relationships, and how to build relationships is something that you must always hold very closely and, you know, give it very lot of importance. And I think as I'm growing up in life, I'm realizing what he's saying is so true.
Right.
That ultimately it's all about relationships and how to maintain good relationships and how do you keep building bridges and not burn bridges.
Yes.
You know, it's very easy to burn bridges, but to build the bridge and then to maintain it is really tough. So, you know, that is something that, you know, now I sort of hold very dear to me. And something that that Addie keeps telling me, like what I just said earlier, is, you know, she tells me, and I think I'm more and more believing that, and she says that it's okay to rest sometimes.
Yeah.
It's okay. She believes that I really, I'm very too hard on myself.
Right.
So I'm trying to sort of, you know, absorb that and imbibe that.
Thank you so much, ma'am. It's been an absolute honor. And as part of a roundup, with each guest, at the end of every episode, what I do is I do a quick takeaway of what I've learned through this conversation. And I think with you, I'd say a woman who believes in building bridges, a woman whose middle name is probably kindness. I do see that in
how
you.
How sweet.
And somebody who believes in championing the cause of mental health as much as she loves scaling mountains. Thank you so much, Nirja Birla.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Saba. It's been a wonderful experience and a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure is all mine. In the next episode of How I'm a Saba, I am speaking to the Indian actor, thespian, who also happens to be my mother, Nina Gupta. Tune in next week.
You were listening to How I'm a Saba only on Luminary. The podcast is produced by Monisha Singh Katyal and Rainshine Entertainment. Prithika Bajaj is our creative producer and Palash Kulkarni is our executive producer. The research for this episode was done by Anushka Mukherjee. The mix engineer for this episode is Ankit Thakur. Artist management by Versus Entertainment LLP. The music supervisor for the episode is Ankur Srivastav. The episode was recorded at Bayout Studios, Mumbai.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.